Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God here this morning. And Father, I love Your presence here, not only just during the praise and worship, but I love Your anointing that was upon Ted and Autumn for our children's and teens and young adults. That is important to us. And so, Father, now we get to go to the Word. And I won't be real lengthy today, Father, but I will lay the most important foundation that can be laid for this morning's message. And Father, we ask that You anoint Your people's ears to hear and anoint my lips to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know that sometimes a pastor can determine to go in a specific direction until the Lord releases me to go in another? Well, I wanted to talk about soul winning again this morning. I wanted to continue on, but the Lord said, I want you to go the next couple of Sundays on faith. And I said, well, Lord, I've preached everything there is to know about faith. And He says, well, you just pay attention to how people talk to you and then come back and tell me whether they need to hear the message on faith or not. And so I did that very thing, and I went back to the Lord and I said, I'll preach on faith. And Dean and John and I were in the office one day, and we were talking, and there is certain people that you can count on at getting results with their faith. And there are some people that you know won't get the results that they need with their faith, which shows me something, that either you know how faith works and it's working for you, or it's just wishful thinking and you're not getting the results that you need. The bad thing about that is the fact that the witness of men can be stronger than the witness of God. But we're not to let the witness of men be our input, but we're to let the witness of God be true and everyone else a liar. And it's amazing how just listening to people and how they talk, it's amazing how many people think they're in faith and they're not. And usually the ones who talk the most think they're the most in faith. But I find they're the least. I asked Dad Hagen one time, I said, gee, Dad, you never really say much of anything. How come you don't talk more? You have a whole lot to give. He says, well, I give it from the pulpit. He says, anything else can come of trouble. He says, the more light you get, he says, the less your conversation will be and the more direct when you do speak it will be. He says, I like keeping quiet because I could have a whole lot to say about a whole lot of people, but I've learned that my mouth off stage is the same as what's on stage. And so I don't speak very much unless it's something that is in the Word of God or something that's edified. Because I asked him about certain people and he'd lean back and he'd never give his opinion on one statement he did. He told me, he says, the man himself is in sin. And that's all I ever heard him say about anybody. And, of course, it surfaced, this particular minister, it surfaced. He was in sin. He got caught. You know, Dad knows. He knew. Kenneth Hagin Sr. He knew. But now, since I'm drawing closer to understanding a greater depth of the Word of God, and I think this last year and a half has been the greatest leap of understanding that I've ever had. It sure challenges you because off the stage, it comes with responsibility. The more light you get, the more responsible you become to the Word of God. And you don't have the freedom that you used to have. The more light you get in your walk with God, the less freedom you have. The more of a love slave you become to the Lord. And it's hard sometimes to break the pattern of life that we live out of our flesh. It's hard. But you know, I've learned that if you're going towards God and you're trying to break patterns, there's just a wonderful area of grace and mercy that God has for us that's just inconceivable. Romans chapter 7 came alive to me And it came so alive to me this last year, and just here recently, it gotten so alive to me. It was just that I just sat and wept one day, and I said, Lord, your love for people, at the place that they're in, I understand it more and more. You know, it would have been nice when we got born again. We also had a new body. It got to glorification, but it didn't. And so we live in these bodies of ours, but we don't realize how deadly they are because of the nature of death is at work within. Today I want to talk about faith. And I want you to hear it as you've never heard it before. First of all, we're living in a time period, and it's a proven fact, that churches that are growing are not growing because of a denominational tie like they used to. Back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, churches grew by denominational identity. But they're finding that that's not the case now. The case now of churches growing is the churches that require less discipline and more numbers. They're churches that are trying to fit in to the right church with the right doctrine that complements them. Matter of fact, a lot of people who think that they're living in faith, they found that they live off of dreams and visions and miracles and confirmations and gifts of the Spirit and supernatural signs and prophecies. Not only having the right church and the right doctrine, but they also are living off of these other means of direction in their life. Now, how many of you realize that the gifts of Spirit are nice to have? Yeah, amen. But did you know that even though there are people who rely on the gifts of the Spirit, it seems like they're not able to find churches now that even are expressing the gifts of the Spirit anymore. It's just all eloquent speaking. Then people live off of visions and dreams and confirmations. Do you know there's nothing wrong with getting a confirmation? But if your faith is predicated on a confirmation, you can get into trouble. That's the same as throwing out a fleece. Do you know, I love dreams and visions. I do love them. I thank God when I do get one. But the last one I had was my last birthday, May 29th. God gave me an interpretation of a dream that Sue had on my birthday. And I was shocked. I said, Lord, this is phenomenal, because I was seeking Him for some things in my life that I couldn't necessarily go to the Word of God about concerning my personal walk with Him. How many of you are following what I'm saying? Now, there is a walk with Him that I am to know about that causes me to grow in faith. But personal direction for my life, sometimes there's where dreams or visions can take place to help you. The gifts of the spirits, they can come to help you, but it's only partial insight. But you know, I notice Christians will live constantly off of some miracle or some gift of the Spirit and never develop in character themselves into the image of Christ. They're always seeking for some gift or some prophecy to give them direction. It's okay, but eventually God wants you to find out what the Word of God has got to say about you personally in your growth. Are you following me? So that you don't have to rely upon the gifts of the Spirit for your direction. Because in in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit being used in partial knowledge or partial insight until you come to a place of maturity. Then when you come to a place of maturity, then that which was in part will fall away. Now, they use that as a means by saying the gifts of the Spirit have passed, but that is not true at all. But the Lord told me this morning that many people, every one of us, are in different levels of faith this morning. There isn't one of us that is not on a level of faith that we have towards our Father. There's not one of you in this congregation that could claim that you're on the same level as another person. All of us walk in different levels of our faith with the Lord. How many of you are following what I'm saying? Not all of us are on the same plane. When I was younger in the things of the Lord, I expected everybody to be on the same plane as I was. You know, and so my convictions were strong, but they were without knowledge. I had a lot of zeal for God, but I was an idiot. You know, and I would cause more damage than good. Actually, I was used as an enemy of the cross rather than someone who promoted the cross, because I had a zeal that was not according to knowledge. Matter of fact, I had so arrived that when something happened to me, I went into shock. How could that be? I thought, because I had the attitude, once faith, always faith. But I soon learned. You grow up in the ministry. You do grow up when you're rubbing elbows with people, that not all people are where you're at. All of us live differently. Now, when your faith stops growing, then you become more critical and offensive rather than moving forward and progressing. You start losing a desire for the kingdom of God. And then the kingdom of God, then, through people, become more of a mockery rather than literally a faith that you are to represent or respect. You soon back off because you get complacent. You get lethargic. You start looking at excuses. When really what the bottom line is you started out in the Spirit and now are trying to find a place in God through the body, and it won't work. It just won't work. You know, your faith grows. It doesn't cease, and then you roll backwards. Faith is going forward in your walk with the Lord, not going backwards. Now, the only reason that many of us are not really affected by our faith is because we have too many other options other than God. And it's true. It's a proven fact that in third world countries, it's easier to get the kingdom of God across to the unlearned and the unsaved, much better than it is in the United States, because in the United States we have what we call prosperity, conference of the flesh. And so if we get a little offended at church and we get a little upset, we have the option, we can leave. But you know, over in these third world countries, Christianity is the only means to stay alive in your faith or to have any hope, because you don't have it in your surroundings. I've been in some of them third world countries, and just being there, I praise God for America. Oh, praise God. But I got news for you. You and I have a tougher feel to hoe than they do. You want to know why? Because we have too many comforts, creaturely comforts of our flesh, that we don't really need God all that much. But you know, if you get out to where there is no creaturely comforts, then you find yourself really taking another look at your walk with your Father. You see. Because over there in them third world countries, they start hearing that God can really go to work on your behalf. Matter of fact, I read a story about a family. This is an incredible one. She was in that death march that they had in Africa. Yeah, there was a death march. How many of you remember that? Thousands were dying. Their children were dropping dead in their arms. It was a myriads of them. And one lady had been witnessed to by a minister from the United States and gave her a book, How to Turn Your Faith Loose, and began to minister to her in her language. And she grabbed a hold of it and believed herself right out of the situation, didn't lose a child or nothing. Well, is God a respecter of persons or what? She took for granted a living God that did exist and began to apply those principles. Glory to God. Glory to God. But you know something in the United States? If catastrophe hits, and we're going to get hit with it, things are not going to get better. They're going to get, and some of you are going to face some hard times. But the thing that's going to pull you through the hard times is your faith in God. And your faith has to be deliberate. It can't be on the sovereignty of God. It's got to be on a deliberate move on the predictable will of God that has been resolved on your behalf. Not all of us are going to get a free ride as times draw nearer. As much as we'd like to think we are, no, those free times are over. Now, first of all, I'm going to make some bold statements that's going to help you to understand something about faith. I can truthfully say that in the last couple of years, I have really been blessed at faith working in my life and my body, physical body. I've been getting some victories I never had before. There's one area left in my physical body that I need victory in, and I'm going to have it. Because I am growing in my faith. Listen, I'm going to shock some of you. There is no such thing as a mustard seed of faith producing anything for you. If you think you can take a mustard seed and move a mountain with it, you're whacked. But Pastor, that's what I was taught. If I have just faith as a grain of mustard seed. Yeah, you got to realize what you're reading there has a little more depth to it than what you're getting a hold of. He's not saying your mustard seed faith will move that mountain. He said a mustard seed as a grain of mustard seed. It literally means the mustard seed, when it's little teeny seed, it though it'd be so small. But yet it has to grow and grow into a tree. And once it's grown into the tree, then the tree can produce for the what? The fowls of the air. They can come and lodge in the branches of the tree. So it is what we call not a mustard seed moving the mountain, but faith that grows from a mustard seed is the one that moves the mountain. How many of you are following what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is mentioned so many times in the area of the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. And I want you to write this down. What is the God kind of faith? Does it mean having faith like God? Is it called a God kind of faith? Well, what is that statement? What does that mean? That's what I asked the Lord. I said, I want a clearer understanding of what it means to have the God kind of faith. What does it mean to have the God kind of faith? What does it mean to have the God kind of faith, Father? Father, I think I got the God kind of faith. What does it mean to have the God kind of faith? Does it mean that I got to go to a right church, get under a right minister, get under the right prayer, have the right dream, have the right miracle? What is it where I can have the God kind of faith? And here's what he said to me. Write it down. Faith is the kingdom of God that seeds itself in you and grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. That is a God kind of faith. You know, the problem with too many of us not growing in God, we're trying to grow through other things, other means, rather than us growing personally before the Lord. If we had the right prophecy, the right direction, the right all this, right? And if we had the right church, if we had the right pastor in the church, if we had the right people in the church, our faith would grow. No, it wouldn't. It would be what you call convenient believing. But no, the kingdom of God, in order for the God kind of faith to be in you, is that faith is the kingdom of God that has seated itself in you, and it grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. That is what it means by if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. If you allow it to grow, then when it comes to the most immovable objects in your life, they will obey you because you have that full potential. Now, I love John 16:33. It is one of my most favorite verses because I've learned to rely upon my Lord through this verse more than anything else. In the world. Now, this is going to be a bad confession for those of you that are full of zeal without any brains. In the world you shall have tribulation. I'm sorry that Jesus had said that. Don't let Jesus come off of your box. In the world you shall have tribulation. But thank God for the rest of it. But be of good cheer. I love that word, good cheer. You know that word cheer? Very interesting word. It doesn't only mean to be cheerful. It means also the state of peace. It includes peace in there. How many of you know it's easier to be cheerful when you're at peace? This word for cheerful here, be of good cheer, literally means one who has chosen to be at peace. Therefore, he can be in good cheers. Ready? Here's the little words that we've missed. I have overcome the world. Who overcame the world? Did he overcome the world, people? Isn't God going to do a new thing? God is not going to do a new thing. You know what God done? God done a completed thing. We call redemption. Done it complete. He can go add to it, take away. Now, follow me. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, I didn't understand it for a long time. I said, God, why did you say you overcome the world when I'm interested in overcoming the world? He says, when I have overcome the world, I gave you my grade. Yes. You earned it. Amen. You couldn't work for it. You didn't deserve it. You earned it. The only thing that you have to be sure of is that if he overcame the world and gave it to you, he gave it to you in righteousness. Yep. So therefore, his wisdom comes with what? It comes down from above with what? The first thing it does, it sanctifies you. Yep. And then after it sanctifies you or sets you apart, guess what it does? It brings to you redemption. And then righteousness. Paul said it. Most of us have come to Christ, and because we haven't been sanctified from the world, we invite Jesus into our little world and hope that it works, rather than being conformed into his very image according to his will. Now, we're going to understand about faith more than we've understood about it. But I'm going to tell you, I've taught this before in the past, and it bears going over again. Turn to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. And the Lord said, every time you teach this, somebody will get something new and catch it. But many of us make statements, I've listened to them come out of your mouth, totally contrary to the God kind of faith. Hebrews 11:1. There are books out that says that faith is not something you hope for. It is now. Faith is something that you hope for. It is. Now watch this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Well, let me read verse 2 to you according to the Greek. For by this, by what? The substance of hope which was their faith. By this, the elders obtained witness. Why? They received a word from God. When they received a word from God, they obtained witness. How many of you understand what that means? It means when they received a word from God, they obtained witness. They obtained a witness. What kind of witness? That by faith we understand that the ages has been adjusted by a rhema of God, so that the things which were not made of things which are visible. The word not is mu. It means does not appear to exist. Does not appear to exist. Which means then if you had a word from God and you received a witness to it, then guess what? The first second, the very next thing you've got to understand is you can't see it. But you can receive it. You can't see it, but you can receive the word. By faith, we understand that the ages had been adjusted by a rhema of God. What? Something they said. Oh, but how did they get it to work? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. Notice, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let me ask you something. What is that verse telling you? Look at it. Look at it. It says you see something before they're there, right? Notice it says there's something visible. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's look at that verse again. By faith we understand that the ages were adjusted by a rhema of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You see, you know what that's saying? It's saying what you see. Your faith doesn't operate off of what you see. That's what it's saying. It doesn't operate off what you see. Why? We're not. Does not appear to exist. We're not, are not seen. We're not made. We're not made of the things which are visible. Which appear to exist. Isn't that weird, that verse? That's weird. You want to know why? It's saying you're seeing something, but yet that is not the outcome.
Right.
Boy, how many times we have seen things in the natural and we've taken that as a means of the outcome.
Right.
That verse says, then why am I where I'm at? Yeah, you probably behaved yourself into what you were in. So don't go blaming your past tense on where you're presently at. Determine where your future is going. Are you following me? Don't let your past mistakes be your downfall. Let your future vision be your upkeep. Now notice he says, by faith, these witnesses, these men, understood that their time period would be altered and adjusted by a word that would come out of their mouths, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Do you know what? You know what, Noah? Bless his little heart. Here's Noah. I gotta build this thing called boat. God's fed up with y'all because y'all walked out of them. So now I'm going to bring judgment on you. But if you want to be a part of my boat, join up. And no one accepted him. They mocked him. They thought he was a wacko. He was building something they weren't accustomed to call water. W-A-T-E-R. Water. And he told them in detail how it was going to come. Do you know there are Christians today that you're telling time is short? Change your plans. Change the way you think. Change your direction. We've been told that for years. Same thing with Noah's day. Matter of fact, I was seeing that out of my spirit when I was prophesying. Same thing out of Noah's day. What are you trying to build? A boat? To go float? There ain't no such thing. Well, today, Jesus is coming. Amen. The church is going to disappear. We don't even believe in the rapture. I hope you're not one of them guys that are left behind and you go and say, was it really true? Oh, darn it, I forgot. I was well educated by the History Channel. They went off by UFOs. I'm okay. Whew, I thought it was a rapture of the church, but it's UFOs. It's a confirmed thing. Did you know that it says in the latter times, the signs in the heaven will increase? You're seeing it on TV. You can look at the History Channel and see the signs increasing. But yet, you know what? Because we are believers and we're living in such darkness of our walk with the Lord, we can't even discern the signs of the time. So if there's going to be a revival in the church, it means the church has got to revive itself. Now, if there's going to be a move of God, a supernatural presence of God take place in the world, that's really not revival. That's evangelism. Then the church's faith has to come up. So he says here that by faith we understand that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So that's the first thing that we learn about faith. It's the things that are visible can be changed by our faith. That's what he's saying there. And he says, but my faith is established on something that is hopeful. Well, here's the beautiful thing about the word hope there. It is not the hope future tense. It's a hope aorist tense. It means a hope of something that had taken place in the past that you can rely on. Not a hope that's future. That's where Kenneth Hagin's coming from. He says, faith is not hope. The hope he's talking about is a future hope. You don't establish your faith on something that's going to happen. You establish your faith on something that has happened.
Amen. That is right.
Yes. It's not something that you hope that you're going to get. It's something you already got.
Amen.
You just got to switch your position of authority. Faith does not say, I will ascend into heaven, get something out of God's future tense. Faith does not say, I'm going to go back in and start this resurrection all over again. Faith says it's done.
Amen.
Done deal.
Yeah, hallelujah.
You know what God's going to add to it new? People.
Man.
That's all He's going to add to it. People. New people coming into the kingdom of God. New.
Hallelujah.
These prophets come around. Oh, God is going to do a new thing. Well, God, I wish you'd get it together and get it right the first time. Anyhow, God works. Now, go to verse 6. But without faith, stay away from them faith teachers. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Now, here's how your faith works. When you come to God, you must believe that He is. What in the world does He mean by that? You must believe what He says He is in the Word is what He is. You must believe that what He said in His Word, that is Him. There ain't one of you here outside of Dean that can go literally to Jesus and ask Him for what you need. Why? He ain't here. Where is He? He's up there. So where do you go to get something from the Lord with your faith? To the Word of God. Now, what does God have to do to get you to activate your faith? Every time you pick your Bible up and you flip it open, God's got to appear like that Star Wars hologram or something. Yes, you can have what you say. People, I got news for you. You don't need that stuff. You want to know why? This Word is not dead ink. It is alive. It is living. And it is full of energy. It is. It's not a dead letter. But it's full of life. The only reason it doesn't have life is you're dead when you look at it. You have to be alive with God. Now notice what He says. You must believe He says what He says about Himself in the Word. That is the first level of your faith. And the next one is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Underline the word diligently. Diligently. If you are flat dead spiritually today, it's because you haven't been diligent with your walk with God. And your day will come. It's one thing for you to sit there and say you have faith. But when the world writes you off with no hope, guess what? You'll know what it means very clearly. That you have no alternative but to believe God for what He said. Because the world can't give you what you might need. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you let God be true and every man a liar. Now, you know what? You don't call a doctor a liar. Because he's not opposing your faith. What opposes your faith is when someone who has knowledge speaks against the knowledge of God. Now, they're the liars. Now, notice what he says here. He says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That is the second level of your faith, meaning giving your life to pursue his allowing him to become to us what he already said he is. Did you get that? First level of faith is what he says he is in the Word. And second level, giving your life to pursue His, allowing Him to become to us what He already says He is. For allowing Himself to become to us what He said He is. Turn over to Hebrews 12:25. We're going to close on this one because we've gone way over. Hebrews 12:25. Well, 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, he refused him who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. You know what that is in the Greek? Present active motion. Now watch this. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Do you know in the Greek what that means, the heaven? It's singular. It's singular. That first covenant, when God spoke, it affected this present physical realm. And it shook the ground. You know what that was? Mount Sinai. It trembled and quaked that everyone feared. That was His first visitation. But He said, now He has a word that not only shakes the foundation of this world, but it shakes a heaven. And it's singular. And God asked me, He says, why is it plural or singular, not plural? I said, that's weird. I don't know. He says, is there anything in heaven that needs shaking? I says, no. He says, what about the heaven around you? Does it need shaking? I says, yeah. He says, do you know that when I say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you? Do you know what my voice does? It shakes the heaven around you now. Not just what's physical. You speak into that spirit realm, and your voice has authority. Not only against fallen angels and demons and devils, but I got news for you, it has the authority for angels to administrate on your behalf the spoken word. And the angels couldn't hardly wait for the day for redemption to show up in the heart of a believer so that the hands of this world would be back in the resurrected believer to speak the word of God. And the angels, demons, devil, everything got to move on your behalf. Oh, that's not even relatable. I know where you're at. Because you're not interested in moving anything spiritual. You just like to see it in the natural. Because your faith is predicated on what you see. We're going to close with that. There is power in your words, but your words have to be established by your heart. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to show you something that I had just recently discovered that I hadn't seen before. And we're going to Romans 12. And we're going to find out what it means to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it's going to give you some insight concerning your faith that you might not have ever seen. Because this morning, when I got the full impact of this, I went into shock. I used to look at the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God in three different measures. Do you know that when I was reading it out of my inner linear, it does not say no such thing. Oh, we're going to learn some good stuff next Sunday. Providing your body and the enemy doesn't talk you out of it. Did you get something here this morning? Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. 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 You know what the Lord told me about understanding faith? The Lord told me that as time draws narrower, you people will do things you've never done before with your faith.
Amen. Good.
You will never go back to where you've been.
Amen.
It'll be different.
Lord, yes.
You will do things with your faith that will astound people. They will look at Billy as a different person. Because every time you sit to receive the word, Billy changes. Now, I'm speaking to Billy, but I'm speaking to every one of you. Are you following me? Speaking to you, Ms. Soon, but I'm speaking to everyone here. You know what, people? When faith grows in you, they don't visit the old person that you used to be. They visit a person that's changed. Because God is concerned for you. If you've been neglectful in your faith with me, saith the Lord, stop what you're doing, turn about, and go in the opposite direction. If it takes you away from me, if it takes you away from the brethren, if it takes you away from me, saith the Lord, and all that you say and do, then turn around and go in the opposite direction. And I will prove myself to you that I am what I say that I am. And I will do what I said I will do, saith the Lord. Oh, do you guys believe that this morning? You have to believe that. Or what hope have you got? What hope have you got? Do you want me to give you a dream? You want me to give you a vision? Do you want me to give you confirmation? All right, I will. Ta-da! That's it. Next Sunday, we're going to get into this faith really good. John and I got a little skit worked up for you. We like doing skits because skits really get the point across. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
It's going to get interesting because you know what? I'm determined that you're going to benefit as much from what I'm sharing with you as I am. I'm determined. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. I thank you for their endurance this morning and their long suffering with us. But Father, I know that they've got something and we're looking forward to what's to come. And Father, we're looking for our lives to change so that we can be more effective than where we've been.
Yes.
And I love you, Father. And so this morning, if you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, we want to minister to you to step out of the world and into His kingdom. And become spiritually alive to the kingdom of God. It can't come by good works or good thoughts or any other thing. It only comes by having faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And His works. And so this morning, if you even question whether you're saved or not, we want to pray for you so that you know. If you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, you haven't been reading and praying. If you've been looking for excuses and you've been drawn away from the brothers and sisters, drawing away from your Bible, drawing away from Jesus, we want to pray with you this morning and give you information that will help turn you around and go in the other direction. Because we don't want to lose you, not one of you, to the works of the adversary. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we want to pray with you to be full of the Holy Spirit. And we have those that will pray for you for physical healing at the end of the service. I want you to come forward and be determined to get what redemptively right for you. By the elders laying hands on you and you receiving your healing. And listen, if you've been prayed for and you still don't have the results, just keep coming up. And one of these days you'll get it. Okay, with that said, Father, I thank you for this wonderful crowd. And as we dismiss this service, we'll wait up here for those that need ministering to until that's met in Jesus' name. And with that said, you're free to go. Praise God.